You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
Recently, we observed our annual celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. About 2,000 years ago, a dark Jerusalem night was shattered. After 3 days and three nights of death and stillness in that tomb was alive with the presence of the living Jesus Christ, raised from the dead by the power of God. And soon that resurrection news would spread, and the disciples who became the apostles of the early church would see to it that news of that resurrection of Jesus would be coupled with the news of the death of Jesus as the Lamb of God. And those two items of truth, the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, would come to be called the gospel, the good news. Paul the Apostle later would say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." This resurrection truth is pivotal in understanding the gospel of God's salvation into eternal life. Friend, in your own life, can I ask you today, how was that celebration of the resurrection this year? Should we have one day of celebration a year, or shouldn't every day be celebrated as the resurrection of Jesus? Is it a big part of your own spiritual life? Do you look back on that resurrection as a cornerstone of your faith? Is it really all that important in the world today, after 2,000 years ago, that a man rose from the dead? Well, I want to give you five great reasons today why the resurrection of Jesus is still a big deal in the world. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus shows that Jesus can do anything. Listen, when you can rise from the dead after announcing that you would, then you can do anything. There's nothing too much for you when you can call your own death and then pull it off. Jesus had done that very thing in Jerusalem one day in the temple area when he had told them, "If you tear this temple down, I'll rebuild it again." Now, people who heard him say that misunderstood, and they thought he was referring to the temple. He was referring to the temple of his body, and many people understood that after his resurrection. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus shows that not only can Jesus do anything, but Jesus is very God. You see, you could only pull off the resurrection if you are, in fact, God. Jesus wasn't just someone sent from God. He wasn't just someone sort of created at Bethlehem on the spot to do some very special business at the cross for God. But no, he's God in the flesh. As the number two member of the Trinity of God, the Son part of God. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says he's the fullness of the Godhead. He is very God, and we know it because of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus shows that our sins are paid. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, one day the one we call John the Baptist was teaching his disciples, and as Jesus passed by within eyesight, John that day stopped his lesson, turned to Jesus, pointed him out, and made this announcement, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Well, the resurrection of Jesus finishes the story of that Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. But without that resurrection, see, well, any of his detractors or enemies could have claimed that Jesus died like everybody else dies, and he lies in the tomb dead today. But no, they couldn't go to the tomb and produce a body. They tried. Oh, did they ever try to make up some story about how his disciples stole the body, or how maybe it really wasn't a body at all. Maybe Jesus just swooned on the cross. Maybe he was a good guy and didn't know any better. He just passed out under the weight of all the things. Or maybe he was, in fact, a crook who faked the whole thing. Well, in any case, just go produce that body. And there's the answer. And there goes the myth of the resurrection once and for all. And there goes the gospel message. In fact, there goes the whole worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Take away the resurrection, and you've taken away everything for those first century people who were believers in Jesus. No, John the Baptist made that announcement out loud in the streets in Jerusalem. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Therefore, anyone who can put 2 + 2 together, anyone who can use evidence to construct a verdict, then would conclude that if Jesus Christ died on that cross as the Lamb of God, and 3 days and 3 nights passed, and he rose from the dead, then therefore sins are paid. Everyone's sins are paid. Because the Bible says so clearly that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this great verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And friend, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the exclamation at the end of the sentence of the gospel. Because he rose from the dead, we know that all our sins are paid. Mine are paid. Yours are paid. The worst sinner that we've ever known has had all the sins paid by Jesus Christ, and now that Lamb of God has risen from the dead. Amen. The resurrection is the powerful, positive proof that all our sins are paid. But then there's more. The resurrection of Jesus shows that propitiation payment was accepted by God the Father. Now, it would be one thing to pay that sin in the earth, but an entirely different matter that would matter to God the Father in heaven. You see, God had forever demanded that the penalty of our sins was death. The penalty of our sins was never to go to church. It was never to pray prayers. It was never to put money in an offering box or plate. The payment for our sin wasn't that we would obey the Ten Commandments, or at least as many of them as we could. None of those things were ever demanded by God as the payment for our sins. Now, the demand of God from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2 was that when you eat thereof, you shall surely die, God said to Adam, while considering that forbidden fruit in that tree in the garden. So when Adam ate from that tree, he was shackled with a death penalty for his sin. And you and I, friend, came into this world owing God that same death penalty for sin. But there was Jesus on that day boldly dying as the Lamb of God under a sun-darkened sky, paying for our sins and the sins of all other people. And the resurrection was God's sign in the world that that death penalty paid by Jesus was accepted by God in heaven. Amen. The Bible is very clear about this matter. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 24 and 25, the Bible says this: to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses. The Lamb of God paid the death penalty for us all, but he was raised again by God for our justification. Now that means declared righteous. God declared righteous those who believe in Jesus because he raised his son from the dead. And then finally, friend, the resurrection of Jesus says that I have a resurrection too. In John chapter 11, Jesus told the sisters, Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and your brother will rise from the dead. Well, as Lazarus will rise from the dead, so will all believers in Jesus. And we know it today because of the resurrection. I'm going to continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. In the promise of God. And one night as he looked into the stars of God, the Bible says that he counted Abraham's faith for righteousness. You see, Abraham could have made the choice that most people make, and that is that by law, if I can just do enough, then maybe one day God will say I'm righteous enough by the things that I do. But that's not the way Abraham approached it. Abraham approached his way of eternal life in faith that God would provide himself a lamb that would be the sacrifice that would pay Abraham's sin. And so, friend, God gave Abraham everything God ever declared that he would. And he's called today in the world Father Abraham. He's called a friend of God because his journey is recorded for us in the Bible. And Abraham is saved today, and so are all those who are among his seed. That is, all those who put their faith where Abraham put his faith, in the Lamb of God. Amen. Friend, I am a seed of Abraham. I am one of Abraham's children in the world because I rested my faith in Jesus too. And friend, if God can do the greatest miracle and make that which is dead alive forever, if God can transform a dirty, rotten sinner like me into a child of God, what is it that God cannot do? And this is how our hope could never be cast aside in this world. When words of reality flatten us to the floor and suck the air out of our lungs, when it seems like we have no place to turn, we turn to our hope. I'm convinced, friend, that without grace, we cannot have eternal life, but without hope, we can't have a day's worth of life in this world. In all the problems that are brought to us under the curse in which we live. Friend, we need hope. I need hope. I'm living in my hope today. And I invite you into my hope, into the certainty that God made a promise. It's on the book and it's going to be fulfilled. Friend, I have eternal life and this cancer will not be my end. When this cancer is over, I have eternal life in front of me. And in the end, the kingdom of God, I'll abide there where the hallelujahs never end.
Thanks for joining us for Focus on the Bible. While you're here, I want to share another opportunity with you. Grace Farm is a youth camp and training center created to train young Christians to defend and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you know any kids between the ages of 12 and 18 who would benefit from Bible teaching and life-changing memories, please check out our website, gracefarmonline.com to learn more and register for the appropriate camp session. That's all for today, but we can't wait to join you for our next episode of Focus on the Bible.